Good evening. Certainly good to be with you this evening as we prepare to study God's Word together and continue our study this quarter of glorifying God through our lives. And this is part of the quarterly study of the West End Church of Christ here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. As we look at our study tonight, we need to think about our Heavenly Father and how we glorify Him. Through different aspects of our life. And through our class schedule, we've accomplished quite a few different topics, and we have some more topics to go. We've looked at our online presence and our social media, our speech, our persecution, our suffering, our dress, our worship, our employment and our citizenship, our entertainment, recreation, and leisure time. And tonight we'll be looking at our personal studies. Sunday we'll look at our prayer life, and how we can glorify God through our prayer life. And then finish up the rest of the quarter, we have earthly possessions, giving, and good deeds, our home life and our marriage, our retirement, illness, and death, and how we can glorify God through all that, and then we'll have a summary at the end. Tonight, as I already mentioned, we'll be talking about our personal studies. And as we think about studying God's Word, we're talking more about what we do on our own, how we glorify God through studying His Word, not necessarily in a group setting, that's possible, not necessarily in a Bible class at the church building or through an organized study of some type, but how are we actually conducting studies in our own life? And so before we get started, let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank You for all that You do for us, for Your great love for us, for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for the great gift of Your Son, for the plan of salvation, for the hope that we can have of eternal life. We thank You for the peace that You made possible that we can have in obeying You. We thank You so much for Your Word and telling us of the consequences of sin and for the reward that if we remain faithful that we can have through Your mercy and Your grace. Dear God, we pray that we will never take Your Word for granted. We're so thankful for it, and we thank You for the Holy Spirit revealing it. We thank You for the writers, the New Testament and the Old Testament. We thank You for the prophets of old and the early disciples and those who fought for Your truth. Heavenly Father, we pray that we can be like them, that we can be soldiers in Your army. We pray that You would help us as we study tonight, that we'll see the great benefits of studying Your Word personally, and that we can apply that to our lives and be ready to share it with those round about us. We ask You to forgive us of our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as we get started with our personal studies, let's talk about why it's important to glorify God. I know we've been doing this just every class, but it's still important because we basically are gods. And so because we're gods, we need to glorify God, both with our body and with our spirit, which are gods. That's in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter and verse 20. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament words, glorifying is to magnify, extol, praise, especially glorifying God, ascribing honor to Him, acknowledging Him as to His being, attributes, acts, and also of glorifying oneself. And we've certainly talked about glorifying oneself in the different classes that we've had so far, different topics such as our speech and our dress, how we may put ourselves ahead of God. And certainly we don't need to do that. And the same could be true with our personal studies. We also need to consider that we need to talk the talk and walk the walk. Our thoughts, our behavior, our speech, our actions, everything needs to be consistent with God's Word. And it needs to be not just one where we talk it, but that we actually do walk that walk that God has provided us. And so that's how we can glorify God. And so our desire today is to look at what He has provided us. There's a song that we often sing, Give Me the Bible. And you probably have it memorized. You probably know many of the lyrics here, the words. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest tossed. Nor storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And in verse 2, give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, hold up face, lamp to show my Savior near. And so we can see that the Bible is there. The Bible is there when we are going through difficult times when we just don't know where to go. When it says, second verse, when sin and grief have filled our soul with fear, the precious words of Jesus, you know, hold up that which is the lamp that shows us the way. And so the Bible is so important. And in verse 3, give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. So once again, the Bible is there to lead us through the dangerous paths that we may follow here on this earth. And the next verse, give me the path, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining portal. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. And so the Bible is there to help us reach that goal of heaven that we can strive to press on. And the chorus, give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. And so as we think of those words, and we've just talked about how great the Bible is and how we want it so bad. But when we look at our personal lives and we look at our study habits, does it reflect what we just read in the song and what we may have sung from time to time? I have to tell you, this is a topic that steps on my toes. I don't spend enough time reading God's word, and it's something that I need to do better at. And certainly, being involved in a study such as this has helped me tremendously be able to spend more time. And part of that's, you know, you have to have self-discipline to prepare lessons and to get them ready. But it also helps you see the importance of it when you know that you're leading a discussion. So why not study on your own? So when we think about this, what are some reasons why perhaps we don't study as much as we should? And so many will say, well, I just don't have enough time. And yet today we have so many time-saving devices, and we can even listen to the Bible on iPods and through a podcast and different things. I'm showing my age by the language I use. So we could listen to God's word through so many different means, through our phones and those type of things. Some people say it's just too hard to understand. I can't understand it by myself, and so there's just no need me reading it. But yet we know we'll never understand it the way we should if we don't apply ourselves and read it. It's outdated, not applicable. So some people say, you know, it's just too old-fashioned for me. I can't do that. And yet there are many versions of the scriptures that are available, which make it a little easier to read. Some, of course, are more accurate than others. But it's still very applicable to us, and we have to understand that. It doesn't motivate me. Some people say, well, you know, it just doesn't do me any good to read it. I can spend a lot of time on it, and it just doesn't do anything for me. Well, it should, and that's something that we'll be looking at. The fifth one, I don't like to read, and I'm not into history. And I can sort of identify with those people because I don't know that I could tell you the last book that I picked up and read, a secular book. And I'm not so much into history. But as I get older, I'm more into history, I guess, because I'm part of it. And so for those people who like to read and those people who are really into history, God's word may be something that they don't have as much difficulty with. And for those who aren't into reading and those who aren't into history, it may be a little bit more difficult. But as I mentioned before, there are so many different avenues for God's word today that, you know, we don't have to rely on our actually reading it. We can hear it. We can listen to it. And there's many other methods that we can use to read God's word. It's too restrictive. It's too black, white, or it's too gray. It tells me too much what I can't do and what I want to do. That goes back to, are we glorifying God or glorifying ourselves? It's too black and white. Or some people say, that's too much gray area. I just don't understand it. And it's just too difficult for me. Well, if we don't study it, we'll never know. And we have to be able to study God's word to make application. Some will say, well, I don't need to study it. And the reason I don't need to study is because I rely on preachers and teachers and elders and friends and parents and grandparents and my best friend and my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my wife, my husband, whoever it might be. That's who we rely on to teach us God's word. That's not why we should. That's not good. We need to know why we have that hope within us. And we'll talk about that a little later. Some people say, well, God's mercy and grace and love is all I need, so I really don't need to know his word because I know he loves me and that's all I need. Well, as we look at God's word, we find out that's not the case. So we'll look at that also. I get all I need in group Bible studies. So maybe Bible studies in a church building, maybe, you know, a few individuals get together and that's all I need. And you don't ever open a Bible up except when you're in a group study situation. Well, certainly private Bible study or personal Bible study will help you in those group situations to be better prepared, to help yourself and also to help others. I've read it or studied it before. We've probably all thought that at one time or another. But repetition is what we need so much in applying God's word to us. And so these are just some things that came to mind as to why some people and why even myself from time to time may not read God's word as I should. So let's look at the great value of God's word. God's word is so valuable. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, in verses 16 and 17, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is so valuable. It's our guidebook. It tells us what we need to do. And without it, we would not have a manual basically to live with. And so it's important that we adhere to it, that we know it, because it is a valuable tool to us. Much like when you buy an item that comes with instructions, and we may try to put it together ourselves, but we don't put it together correctly because we're not following the instructions. Or we try to go someplace and we try to just set out and find out on our own. But yet there are instructions and maybe a map to follow. And we don't do that. And so there's great value in God's word. 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It's valuable because it's complete. It provides us everything that we need to know what we need to do that pertains to life and godliness. And so you tie that in with the verse we just looked at in 2 Timothy. It's complete. It tells us, it provides us everything that we need. Well, another reason God's word is valuable is because it's precious. And if you think about it, things that are precious to you, you hold dear to yourself. There are things that are they're not always have the most material value, but they're precious to you. And God's word is precious to his believers. In Psalms 19, verse 7, beginning of verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testament of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are great, or right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's a great reward in keeping God's word. And that's why it's so valuable, because it provides us that roadmap that we need. But we also know that we are warned in the scriptures of what the consequences of sin are and where it can take us. Psalms 119, verse 97 through 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. You know, we all need to say it's our meditation all the day. We need to have God's word in our mind and in our thoughts. Whenever we come against temptations, when we come at a crossroads and we don't know which way to go in our life, God's word is there, and he provides us so much. It's so valuable to us. Psalms 119 and verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts, revive me in your righteousness. Is God's word something that we desire? Is it something that we want? Is it something that we thirst for? Because certainly we can see that it is precious. And if it's precious, then we ought to take advantage of it. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is so gracious, and he has provided us something to help us develop spiritually. And we need to grow from that. He's provided us the pure milk of the word, that we may grow. In Jeremiah, the fifth verse, or fifth chapter, verse 14, it tells us that the word of God is powerful. And it gives us some comparison here in verse 14. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire as people would, and it shall devour them. So fire is God's word, and the reader is wood. And God's word can devour us. In a way that it can, if we don't follow it, we know what the consequences are. And so it's so important that we understand the value and the power in God's word. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So let's remember what we just talked about, that God's word is so powerful, and it's like a hammer that breaks rocks. It's a strong hammer. And so God's word is able to help us break our bad habits. It's there to help us break away from an old way of life into a new way of life. God's word is strong. Romans, first chapter, verse 16, talks about the power to save. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. To everyone, God's word is there, and it is so powerful. It's available to all, and it's applicable to all. In Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 15 through 16, it's the power to preserve us. Beginning in verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. It has that power to preserve us. And it has that ability to do that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We have to think about that. God's word is there. It has a purpose. And if only we will read it and apply it towards our lives. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. It's not going anywhere. It will always be there. God will stand by his word. God's word is important. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. This was something that was given to Timothy. This is what he needed to do. He needed to pay attention to these things, to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And certainly those same words could be said to us today as we look forward to the coming of Christ. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And some will say, well, I don't understand this. This is talking about singing. This isn't talking about God's word. But God's word dwells in us in the fact that when we sing, if we can't make spiritual application, then it's going to cause us some difficulty. We're not going to be able to admonish one another. We're not going to be able to teach. We have to know God's will, and we need to let it dwell in us. And we need to exhibit that in the fruit that we bear. 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So we talked about glorifying God. And here it says that he called us by glory. And so we can see that it has everything that pertains, once again, to life and to godliness. And it's so important for us. And that's the reason why, because it provides us all. Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 4, tells us that then we who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so the word of God is so important because it helps us know how to interact with others. It helps us know how to behave ourselves and how to help others that are having difficulties. And it's so important that we do that. And also from the Old Testament, we can see that the scriptures were written for a purpose. And sometimes we may concentrate only on the New Testament, but we can see that the Old Testament has so much value. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, passage that we already looked at. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It matures us. It helps us to grow. It benefits us greatly if we will just read it and apply it towards our lives. God's word also guides us. Psalms 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It'll help us know where to go, what decisions to make, and what direction to go in. And John, the 15th chapter in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It helps us know where we need to go. It helps us take account for ourselves. It helps us to make sure that we are living in a way that's pleasing, that we have our priorities straight, that our thoughts are clean, that we're living in a way that's pleasing to God, so that we'd be willing to do something so great as to lay down our life if it came to it, such as our Savior did for us. It's important because it revealed that to us. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 18, talks about the armor that we need to have to please the Lord and how we can protect ourselves in the fight against Satan. And beginning in verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And so it tells us what we should put on during that time frame. And it says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints. It helps us fight Satan. It helps us make those decisions. It helps us look to God and know what needs to be done in our life and how we can defend ourselves against Satan. God's word is to be studied. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, certainly it's not saying that we have to always be studying God's word and we can't do anything else in our life. This would be probably equivalent to some verses or another verse such as pray without ceasing. Certainly if all we did was pray, we would never have time to study. If all we did was study, we would never have time to pray. And so, but it is something we need to think about. Something we need to meditate on day and night. It needs to be in our thoughts at all times. Psalms 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law, is my meditation all the day. Once again, we've looked at this verse before, but it's so important It's something that we need to meditate on, something we need to think on, something that needs to be in our thought process, not something that we occasionally look at. Psalm 63 and verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. During our down times, we need to be thinking about God. We need to be thinking on his word. We need to think on him who's forgiven us so much. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many that may be familiar more with the King James, study to show thyself approved. But God's word is something that we need to be diligent on, something that we need to be striving to achieve and to understand, that we can stand approved and that we can be a worker who's not ashamed, and that we divide the word of God, the word of truth, appropriately, so that we interpret it and we apply it, make application to our lives. The Bible teaches us all sorts of things. The Bible teaches us about God. And as we think about that, it's something that we need to be thinking about more and more, such as we started out, how do we glorify God? Well, why we glorify God. We glorify God because he created us. God's word tells us all about God. It tells us how creation occurred and where we came from, where mankind came from. It tells us about the fall of man, when man sinned in the garden and sin came into the world, and God's plan to redeem us, how that came to be. It tells us of Jesus and that plan of salvation that redeem us and brought us out of sin. It tells us about our purpose here on earth, is to glorify God and not to glorify ourselves, to serve others, not to put ourselves first. So it's so important that we understand our purpose here in this life. How to live productive, happy lives. There's so much that we've already looked at in this quarter about work and worship and speech and those things. All those things help us be happy and to be productive in God's kingdom and to be good citizens in this world. How to help and treat others. Certainly, you know, we already looked at it. It's not about just us. It's about how we can help others be able to learn God's word and help them through the trials and tribulations that they come upon. It tells us of the sin and the consequences of sin, where sin will take us, you know, what the punishment of that is. It tells us how to please God and how we can inherit the eternal life, the opposite of sin, and the consequences of sin is to glorify God and to please God and to inherit that eternal life. And it teaches us how to teach others so they can enjoy the same things that we have. And so we know that the Bible tells us all these things and provides us all this, but then people say, well, but why study the Bible? You know, why do you need to study it yourself or as an individual? We have to remember, we have the avenue of prayer, and we talk to God. God has his word, and that's how he talks to us individually, is through his word. He provides us communication from him of how we should live and his plan for us. We don't need to put all of our soul in someone else's hands. We need to learn firsthand. We need to take control of our life. We don't need to say, well, so-and-so, you know, did this and therefore I'm okay with it. Or so-and-so thinks this, I'm okay with that. We need to learn firsthand. Our soul is valuable. God's word is valuable and we need to learn it firsthand and take control of it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. We need constant reminders and motivation. In today's world, there are so many distractions, even though we have so many time-saving devices. That's why personal study is so important, because we have to have that. We need to be committed individually. Sometimes individuals find that they're committed as a group, maybe as a family, maybe as a group of individuals, they're committed to their church, but are they really into their local congregation? But are they committed to God? Are they committed to God's word? We need to be committed individually. We will never be as strong as a group if we're not committed individually. We know our strengths and our weaknesses. I know my weaknesses. I think I know my strengths, and sometimes others can point out your weaknesses and your strengths better than we can. But as a whole, I think we know what our strengths and our weaknesses are, and we know what we need to be looking at God's word, what we need to study to help us be a better person. We need to practice self-discipline. Self-discipline is something that comes from within, and it's something that we can read about, that we can pray about. And as we just said, it goes hand to hand with our prayer life. Our study needs to go hand in hand with our prayer life. If we're studying God's word and we're praying, then it accomplishes much. If we're praying to help us understand God's word, but yet we never read God's word, or we ask for wisdom, but we never look at God's word, then it's inconsistent. So our prayer needs to be consistent with our study, and our study needs to be consistent with our prayer. It helps us not be self-centered. When we look at God's word, there's so much instruction there that teaches us about our responsibility towards others and our obligations towards others and the opportunities that we have to help others. It helps us to develop character and to produce fruit. It helps us to understand that it's not just about reading God's word, but it's about doing God's word, and we need to study it ourselves so that we understand how that applies to us. And personal study also helps us develop the abilities that we need in the various roles in life. And that may be a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, a grandparent. It may be an elder, a deacon. It may be a preacher. It may be a Bible class teacher. It may be any roles in our life. It may be your role at work, your role as a neighbor. It's a distant family member. God's word will help us develop in all these areas, and personal study will help us. Why glorify God through our personal studies? Well, as we started off, we were bought with a price. We need to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. And then also in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 6, we need to humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt us in due time. We study God's word and we obey it, then we can be exalted with him in due time, thanks to his grace and his mercy. Our next class will be glorifying God, not through my citizenship. Sorry about that. It'll be glorifying God through our prayer life. And it's important that we will be doing that. And once again, sorry, the slide's not updated, but we are on personal studies today, and we'll be on prayer life this coming Sunday. Thank you so much for your time and for participating in the study. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to me. I'll be happy to try to answer those either as a group or individually, whichever is appropriate. Look forward to being with you again Sunday to study God's word. Thank you, and you all have a good evening.